Yahweh's done what he said he would do. On the mountains through the trials, he's been faithful every mile. He has never failed you yet. Don't ever, no, never forget.
The mighty words of our great God and King remind me that he's bigger than gives new mercies every day.
Don't forget, God's promises are true.
I'm guessing. What is this number?
Wait.
1,230.
Babe.
That's all we can see.
That's a face.
That's a winky face.
It's a winky face.
I decided that later.
This is 230, 231,
245. And 245 is the other count.
This is for you.
Good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Glad you made it. I know the snow was bad this morning, last night, but there are some people that walked to church this morning, so it was been bad. I mean, the Grissoms had to walk this morning all the way across the street. Just terrible. You get to walk both ways. If somebody could take them home, I'd appreciate that. No. We're glad you're here, and I know many of them didn't want to chance it this morning and watching online, but so glad you're in the church house this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Dear Father, we love you this morning. So glad that you love us. God, I pray that you might do a work in our hearts and lives this morning with the preaching and reading of your word. God, help it to change our direction, our opinions. I pray that it might change our lives as a result of being in your house and hearing from you. God, help us to surrender to your word this morning. I do pray for those. A lot of them are not able to be here. Some of them are sick, other difficulties and problems. God, that you might meet the needs on the hearts of your people. But bless our time together around your word this morning, be it the songs, the invitation, the offering, the invitation, the message, be it everything that takes place, that it might bring honor and glory to your name, in Jesus' name, amen. That's all. Stand, turn to page 245. The old account was settled. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went up to the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
Hallelujah.
And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled.
may be seated. Turn back a few pages to page 230. Page 230. Sing all three verses.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight above. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. Singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Man, some of you said you were cold. Well, I sing that just for you. Walking in the sunlight, amen? All right.
Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church this Sunday morning time. Of course, tonight we will still be having the 6 o'clock p.m. service. So if you can make it to that safely, make sure you're here for that. Wednesday, November the 29th, will be the midweek Bible message and prayer service. Kids Patch Pirate Club program will be taking place, of course, like every Wednesday, 7 o'clock p.m. here. Thursday, November the 30th, will be Brother Pyland's viewing at noon. The memorial service will be at 12:30 p.m. this Thursday. Saturday will be Churchwide Operation Saturation Soul Winning at 10 o'clock. And then Monday, December the 11th, will be Senior Saints at the church at noon. Friday, so you know, the middle of next month, will be the Adult Christmas Social. And, of course, a Merry Christmas to everybody. Sunday, December 24th, is going to be the Christmas Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. morning service. And then the evening service will be a 5 o'clock p.m. candlelight service. So make sure you're here an hour earlier that Sunday evening, not get here at 6, because you'll miss everything at that point. Also, just today, if you did not last week get a picture with Sister Grissom, make sure you see her today. Get a picture if you're able to. We're making a directory. So if you haven't got your picture taken yet for that, make sure you get with her and get that photo taken as soon as possible. And I believe that's all the announcements that we have. Let's all stand. We'll have a time of shaking hands. We'll take the offering. Thank you.
find your place this morning. Bill Pylon did go to heaven, I think it was last Tuesday, I believe, or Monday. Anyway, the viewing will be here at the church on Thursday at noon, and then at 12:30 we'll have the memorial service here, and then we'll go to the graveside at 2. Sister Woody, pray for them and their family, but they don't have a whole lot of family left so we're just going to take up an offering on Wednesday night, give it to them, and they can enjoy a family meal together. So that'll be this Thursday. Want to give you some good news. We had our missions month, and I was able to call Brother Parker and Brother Scuffum and tell them we were going to take them on for support. Praise the Lord. But there was 13 different people that either started giving or increased. And all God's people said?
Amen.
And for a total of, right now, $1,342 a month increase, that means $16,112 a year. So that's great. Man, I was so thrilled and happy, and called Brother Miller and Brother Stowe, those that have been part of our missions conference. God used those, I believe, and I pray that if you started or you increased, that God will bless you abundantly and that you'll see how God does bless. So thank you so much, and that's exciting. So well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless this offering. Brother Rowe, will you do that for us, please, sir?
Lord, we come before you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
stand one more time. Take your hymnal and turn to page 231, Sunlight, and we'll sing 1, 4, and 5. 1, 4, and 5.
I wandered in the shades of light till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love did all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have heard the sunlight of his love within. I cross the wide extended fields, I journey o'er the plain, and in the sunlight of his love I reap the golden grain. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me and took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. Soon I shall see him as he is, a light that came to me, of his face throughout eternity. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within.
Thank you. You may be seated.
To my dead, I do not.
That. Praise Lord. Well, thank you for being here this morning. I know it was an effort to be here. And you say, what's the, we could watch it online. What's the advantage of being in church? Kind of remind me of the old guy had his overalls on and had a mule. And he took his mule to the Kentucky Derby. And he's going there and he's walking along and all these, you know, these racehorses. And finally, one jockey says, Hey, why'd you bring your mule here? He said, he's not going to win. And the older man says, well, I thought the fellowship would be good for him. So anyway, that's bad. Anyway, but anyway, so we're going to finish up our series, God is Sufficient. And I've been talking about the light. Aren't you thankful for the sun this morning? Amen. It's warmth. And we had a guy that called him last night, and he cleared the lot. I'm not sure what time. He said it might be 2 or 3 in the morning. But when I got here before 8, it was a roller rink. I promise you. The snow was gone, but the ice was there. And I'm like, Lord, please help the sun to come out. And, you know, we're going to have to take salt and put it everywhere. But the sun dissipated the ice. Praise the Lord. I know there's still patches, so be careful. But that's why I sang both page 231 and 230, Heavenly Sunlight and Sunlight. 231 says, I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love bid all my darkness flee. Amen. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me and took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. Praise the Lord. And then we sang Walking in Sunlight, which was 230. Flooding my, hallelujah, shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. So, praise the Lord for that. Well, if you'll turn to John chapter number 1. And we're going to finish up this part of the series about God being the light. And I want to talk about this morning only two parts of my message. You are either in one of two groups this morning. You're either male or female. Amen? Amen. Aren't you glad you know that? Yeah. There's some people say, well, there's 300 and some different genders. Really? Really? They're crazy. They're nuts. Either you're male or female. Amen. Either you're married or not married. If you're married and glad you're married, say amen. Amen. If you're married and not glad, don't say anything. Amen. Amen. If you could be rich or poor. You can be shaved or not shaved this morning. But anyway, two groups. You're not in the middle. Number one, you're either a rejecter or a receiver. Rejector or receiver. There's nothing in between. You're either saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a son of God, you're on your way to heaven, or you've rejected Jesus Christ to this point, and you're lost, and you're on your way to hell. Only two. Well, I'm on my way to get saved. No, you're still lost. There's a guy in Kerrville that said, well, Pastor Martin, you know I'm going to get saved eventually. Really? What if you were to walk out here today and get hit by a car and die, and where are you going to go? Well, you know, no. You're either saved, all the way saved, or you're lost. If you were to die, you'd go to hell. So you're either a receiver or a rejecter. And I want to look at those two this morning. So if you'll stand in reverence and love of God's Word, John chapter number 1, and we'll start reading in verse number 9. That was the true light, and that light is capitalized, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The next two verses are the rejectors. He came unto his own, and his own what? Received him what? Not. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And then verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So those are the rejectors. His creation has rejected him. His own countrymen has rejected him. But verse 12 starts the receivers. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, praise the Lord, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Then verse 14, the one we used at Christmas time, and the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. So you're either a rejecter or a receiver. John, turn over to John 8:12, just one verse here. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then chapter 9, verse number 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So this morning, are you a receiver or a rejecter of the light of the gospel? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you this morning. God, I thank you so much for those that made an effort to be here this morning. No, it wasn't easy to get up and get their car going and to be here this morning. And God, thank you for them making the effort. And God, I pray that you might be with those who could not make it and those that are watching online. But God, I pray that you might meet with us this morning. God, that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word. God, I pray that you might convey the message through me this morning. God, I'm not the light. I'm just here to give witness of the light. And I pray that you might bless our time together around your word. Give us a good day. God, thank you for our missions month and what you did in the hearts and lives of our people and the increase. And God, the more of the light that we're able to send forth from this place. So bless our time together around your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So look at these two. And John chapter 1, verse 9, that was the true light. The true light, capital L-I-G-H-T, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And it was talking about the Word, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know he's talking about Jesus Christ. That's the Word. And he says that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That means everybody has an opportunity to see the light. I told you one of the messages, there's a place in Colorado, Dark Canyon, Black Canyon, somewhere where the sun never shines. And there's nothing that grows there, but there's a portion of it that the sun never hits. But that's not so with any human being on the earth. My Bible says he lights every man that cometh into the world. Well, preacher, how does that happen? It happens by creation. If you look it up in Psalms 19, it tells about it. But I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. I want you to see this passage. God's the one that shows it to them. Creation shows that there is a creator. And then conscience tells us that there is a creator. And, of course, the Bible. But Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, is showed in them. For God has showed it unto them. Well, preacher, no one has showed them, and no man is able to tell them, and they don't know. My Bible says God has showed it unto them, because you look at creation, you look at the mountains, you look at the streams, you look at the everything, man, that's God has made, and you must say, hey, there is a creator. And the creation reflects the creator. And your conscience tells you, yes, there is some kind of God. There is some kind of a supreme being and some kind of creator that created everything. But God has showed it unto them. And it says here, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So yes, God is invisible to us. I can't bring him up or open a door and say, there's God. There's Jesus Christ. Can't do that. But the invisible things of God can be clearly seen by his creation, by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So every man can understand, and every man has the access that God to the light of God. But if you're a rejecter, look down here in verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. How many people around do not acknowledge that there is a supreme creator? I mean, years ago when we were in Bevo, when we were youth directors, that was back before 2003. We went in there with Rock of Ages to do a presentation, and in the cafeteria they were doing a test on evolution. I'm like, seriously? You're giving these kids a teaching and a test on evolution, that there was gases and a big bang and here we are? Amen? You know? That's crazy. That's crazy. But it says the world was made by him and the world knew him not. There's a lot of people that reject the idea that there is God. There's a creator out there. But and then number two, his own countrymen. Verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Oh, the Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ. But you see this in type with Joseph. Joseph had 11 brothers. But Joseph got a coat of many colors, set him apart. But what they want to do to Joseph? They want to kill him. They put him away. They sold him. They betrayed him. What they do to Jesus? Part of their own countrymen, a fellow Jew, and they're saying, here's Jesus, but we want to kill him. We're going to betray him. We're going to sell him. That's what they did to Joseph. So these are the rejectors. They rejected him. But look at verse 12. But, don't you love those three little letters, changes the narrative? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So there's a difference. There's those that in the world that says, there is no God, there is no creator, I don't believe that, I choose not to believe that. And then his own countrymen say, no, we're not going to accept this man as the Messiah. We're not going to accept Jesus as the anointed one, the Christ. But there are some that receive him. And you notice there's three verbs in this passage of Scripture that must be done. But as many as received him, received is one of them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Become a son of God. To have normal children, it takes a husband and a wife. They do their part, but then there's the miracle of Almighty God. And you don't think a child is a miracle? A birth isn't a miracle. It's a miracle. How it happens in some and not others, hey, it's of Almighty God. And so there's the human part, and then there's the spiritual part. God's the one that steps in and says, yes, you've done your part, and then I'm going to allow this little child to be conceived, and then he's going to grow in the womb, and then be born, and then live a life. And you know, the same thing happens with us spiritually. We have to do two parts, and then God does his. It says, first of all, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. First thing you got to do is believe. You got to believe. You can't just say, well, I believe that there is a God. No. In this verse, but as many as received him. Him. You must believe in him. And then it says, believe on his name. What's his name? Jesus. I'm so glad around Christmas time or this season, we say Jesus is the reason for the season. If you believe that, say amen. Jesus is. It's not giving of gifts. It's not the sleigh bells. It's not the sleigh rides. It's not the roasting chestnuts, not chipmunks, chestnuts on the open fire. It's not the snowball fights. It's not the mistletoe. What is the mistletoe, too? But anyway, but the other things, but it's not that. Jesus is the reason for the season. Can you say, well, I believe in a God. I believe in this person as a God. No, you must believe in a specific person, and that person is Jesus Christ. In Matthew, the name Jesus is mentioned 151 times. In Mark, only 13 times. Luke, 88 times. But in John, John wrote the Gospel of John to prove the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses Jesus 247 times. He says, I'm going to make you know that this is the person that you need to put your faith and trust in. This is the name in which you must believe in and say, that is the person that can be my Savior. Remember, Brother Charles Epperly, he said, I came for a little while, then I came back. You remember what he said? Because he said, I didn't think that really Jesus would love a person like me. There's people out there like that. How could Jesus love me? I mean, what do I have to offer? And really, if you look at it, all of us could say that. Why in the world would Jesus love me and send his only begotten son to die for me? What have I ever done? Well, I come to church, preacher, really. Well, I give my tithes every Sunday and I pick up my Bible once a week. Well, what have we done for the Lord that he would love us so much? But we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're doing the Romans road and you're winning, if you're soul winning, then the last place that you take them is usually Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth some deity, some God, no, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So one part is I must believe, and preacher, I believe, but have you received? Have you done the second thing? John 1:12, but as many as received him. Well, preacher, I've been going to church for a long time. I'm a member, I'm a Baptist. I'm a good person. My family was saved. When did you receive him? You have a day. You have a time. You have a place. You may not be able to remember the exact date and the time, but where were you? Where were you when you got saved? When you realized that you're a sinner, unable to save yourself, and you realized that Jesus Christ died for you, and you believed him, and you asked him to come into your heart, forgive your sins, save your old, take you to heaven to save you. When did you do that? Where was it? Because if you just believe, there must be two. You must believe and receive. And then when you do that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's God's part. God says, hey, you believe and you receive, and then it's God's part to say, hey, you are now a son of Almighty God. Just as much as a physical birth is really a miracle, a spiritual birth is more of a miracle. So why, you're just flesh, you're just man, but God, you believe and you receive Jesus Christ, and now you are a son of Almighty God. Hey, I'm going to heaven. Jesus is my Heavenly Father. When I pray, I say, dear Heavenly Father, I have access to go to the throne of grace and talk to Almighty God. Amen. What a privilege. Most of us, we couldn't go, and most powerful man on probably in America is the president. You couldn't just say, hey, can I talk to the president? No, sir, let me see your credentials. Well, who are you? Well, I'm a pastor in Wichita, Kansas. So? Well, is he expecting you? No. Does he know you? No. But I can talk to somebody greater than our president, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I am related. I am the Son of God because of the two things that I did and the one thing that he did. I became a son of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. So we see this. And then we see, verse 13 explains it. Which were born not of blood. Folks, you're not human descent. Because of your human descent, you're not grafted into being a child of God. My dad and my mom were saved. My dad was a fundamental Bible-believing, he didn't drink sweet tea, Diet Coke drinking, Ford car driving Baptist all my life. And my mom was the same, barley green eating, walking, exercising, sweet lady. But because I was born into that family, I'm saved. Why? Because my mom and dad are saved. Why are you going to heaven? Because my last name's Swope. No, didn't happen that way. You're not grafted. Not by blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. I don't care what you do. It's not the will of the flesh what you can do and not what you desire. Hey, you can do nothing, man. I have been baptized. I go soul winning. You know, I do mission trips. I keep the Ten Commandments. I cut my hair. None of that. None of that fleshly stuff gets you to heaven. Only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Amen. But of God. So we know that we're received Him and we become a child of God. Then verse 14 gets us all that ready for, and the Word, who was the Word? You go up, verse number 1, it's Almighty God. And the Word was made flesh, and the next four words, and dwelt among us. Now Matthew and Luke, they take a lot of words to explain the story of the incarnation and how Jesus was put in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit, and how Joseph and Mary had not had any physical contact, and how the day was accomplished and she brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ and all that. John doesn't say anything about that. He says all that in four words. And dwelt among us. That's it. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Almighty God, came and dwelt among us. Came into existence? Absolutely not. He came in a different form. A new baby comes into existence on this earth. He's never been on earth before. Unless you believe in reincarnation. You know, I mean, you come as something else or someone else, but that's not true. But a new baby, you say, man, this baby, he's been here before. No, he hasn't. He's never been on earth. But Jesus Christ didn't come and say, I've never been on earth. He's existed for ages. He's the eternal God. Before Abraham was, I am. He's always been here. But he came to this earth in a different form, in the likeness of man, in a man's body. He was all human in that body, but he was still Almighty God. And so that gets us ready. And so, but you say, well, what about the Christ rejectors and the Christ receivers? What's that all about? That's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why John starts in John chapter 1, verse 1. He doesn't start the agnostics, the atheists, the God reject. He doesn't argue with them. He just states some facts so that they can know, verse 14, who this Word is. Who this Word that they actually are rejecting, who that Word is. And he tells them, he states the facts. And this John was the cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the Lord. In fact, in 1 John, his epistle in 1 John chapter number 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John just didn't say, well, I heard about this. I'm not sure who this person is, but this is what I heard. No. He's seen him. He's heard him. He's touched him. Verse 2, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father. So if Jesus Christ, the Word, was with the Father, then there's more than just one God, right? Are you with me? If I say, well, I'm with my wife, well, there's not one of us, there's two of us. Although two become one, never mind. But bear witness, and he says, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So here's a man that says, hey, I know this guy. As a family, I knew him growing up in Nazareth. My mom was sister to his mom, his earthly mother. I know him very well. I've seen him. I've handled him. I've touched him. I've heard him. And I'm here to declare him unto you. So that's why he starts in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was eternally God. Not at the beginning. In the beginning. That's a timeless statement. In the beginning. When's that? There is no. It's a timeless state. In the beginning was the Word. Was. That word was is an imperative tense. That means a continuous state. Not part of the past, present, or future. Timeless. In the beginning was. It's not like our family was eating turkey. We ate plenty of turkey. Amen. It was good. Our dogs enjoyed it also. We had all that. But today we're not going to have turkey, right? Had too much the other day. Anyway, but that's not a continuous state. I wish there was more pumpkin pie. Somebody ate all the pumpkin pie. But I'm not bitter or anything or mad about that. But I'm just telling you somebody ate all the pumpkin pie. But I want more But that's not a continuous state. But in the beginning was the Word. He's eternally God. Number two, and the Word was with God. There again, with God. So how could that be, preacher? I mean, is there two? Is there three? Is there one? I mean, how can there be one when there's three? How can there be three when there's one? But we know, John says, hey, I understand that Jesus Christ here on earth was God, but he was already here at the beginning, and he was with God. He was with the Word, and he was with God. How could that be? He's equally God. He starts out in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. You look that word up, that's Elohim. That's a plural version of God. It says, in the beginning, God created. Singular verb, plural noun. Here's these doing this. God, 3-in-1, created the heavens and the earth. Well, preacher, I don't understand that. I don't know how to explain it. But if you say space, you have space, there's the length, the breadth, and the height. Correct? Some of you look like a blank stare. Okay, but if I say, all right, only the length is space. Preacher, there's the width and the height. But so is one of them only the space? All three of them. And if you take one away, they're all there. Are they all equal? Yes. Well, I'm just going to count the length. Well, you better count the breadth too. Well, I've got all I need to know. Well, you better measure the height too. Oh, well, only one. No. All three of them make space. And they're not more important than the other. And if you lose one, then really all three of them, there's three, but they're one part. How about past, present, and future? Is past part of time? Is present part of time? Future part of time? Well, yeah, but we're going to do away with the past. Huh? That's part of time. Well, let's just deal in the present. Well, there's still the past and there's the future. All three of them, they're equal. They're just, you have no problem with saying, well, what time frame? Well, past, present, future. Well, that's three, preacher. It's only one. So God was equally. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then here, essentially God, and the Word was God. was God. He makes no mistakes, no arguments. Hey, this God was, he was eternally God. He's always been here. He was with God the Father. And make no mistake about it, the man that walked this earth, the man that you put on a cross and that gave his life, he was Almighty God. Amen. He was God. And it's his essence and what he is. He actually is. And who he is, that is, he was Almighty God. Well, how do you know, preacher? Well, next verse. What's the first two words of verse 3? Anybody there? All things. What does that mean in the Greek, Derek? All things. Okay. So it does mean everything? All the stuff. You can tell he's an educated graduate. Yeah. All stuff. All things were made by a bang. Were made by gases. Just came into being. All things were made by a person. By him. By him. And without him, he even clarifies it. And without him was a few things made that was made. No. Why did God have to put that second phrase in there? For people like us, you know, wet paint. Oh, really? Oh, wet paint. Oh, yeah. All things were made by him, yes. And without him was not anything made that was made. Amazing. Everything. Now we're going to go to a science lesson. What's the speed of light? 186,273 miles per second. A little more than me and Derek can run at this point of time in our lives. We were close to it when we were skinnier and lighter, younger. So our sun is 8 light years away. Not bad, right? So what's that? That's 1,490,184 miles from here is the sun. 1.5 million miles away is our sun. So, but you can fit 1.3 million of our Earths in the sun. No wonder you can see it, right? So 1.3 million of our Earths fit in the sun. Then there's a star, Antares, that can hold 64 million of our suns. So this star holds 64 million of our suns, which one sun holds 1.3 million of our Earths. Now you're keeping tab list, right? Then in the constellation Hercules, there's a star that contains 100 million stars the size of Antares that has 64 million suns in it. That each sun has 1.3 million Earths in it. The total of that is? I just wish I had that many pennies in Earth, right? No, seriously. I mean, I got halfway through that, and my calculator goes beep, beep, boom, you know. Your mind. Really? I barely got past the 1.3 million Earths in the sun. And then that the star holds 64 million suns. And then this the star in Hercules contains 100 million the size of that star. But God holds it all together. My God. You say, well, you know, out there in space, it's not very big, really. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, is 100,000 light years in diameter. So you take 100,000 times 186,273, which is, my calculator didn't do that either. So my calculator says, can't do that. The diameter of our Milky Way. So how many other galaxies are there? I don't know. I'm still watching Star Wars to find out, okay? You know, I'm still, me and Hannah, we're trying to figure that out. That's why we watch Star Wars, you know. But I'm like, seriously? How big is that? Does it prove that there's somebody that puts it all together, that knows everything, that holds everything together? His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. He created it. There's nothing out there that he didn't create, that he doesn't hold together. Amen. His deity is proved by creation. Number two, his deity is proved by his communication. Look in verse number four. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Very beginning of this few messages. What is man's most fundamental need in his life? Is light. You can't do anything in the dark. Can't read a book. I guess you can listen to music, but how are you going to know what music to listen to? Well, my phone has a light in it. Well, duh. Yeah, no light. No light. Nothing grows in the dark. There's no life form. If there's no light, no sunlight at all, there's no life. So man's fundamental need is light. And it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So our need is the light. The light and the life both. The light is knowledge. You know, when you're working on something, you can't see it. Hey, shine the light. You know, hey, shine the light over here so I can see what I'm doing. And light gives clarity. It gives understanding. Oh, yeah, now I know what I'm doing. Just pick up your phone and don't have it come on, but say, I'm going to call somebody without the voice activation. But no screen, no light on the screen. What can you do with your phone? Nothing. Well, I'll talk to it. Yeah, I'm not talking about talk to it. If you just had to push buttons and there was no light on your phone, what could you do? Nothing. Light. You and I need light. It gives knowledge, and then the life backs up what the light is. Hey, I understand, but I'm going to do something about the light. And that's why the Lord sent John. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. There's a messenger. There's a lot of rejectors out there. But if you're a receiver becomes a messenger. If you're just a receiver, oh yeah, I've received, and you've never become a messenger, you're not right with God. Our life needs to convey and declare and show and manifest the light of Almighty God through us, a reflector. Hey, the world needs to know there is a God. The world needs to understand that God died for us and loved us. But how are they going to do it? They can see it by creation and conscience and the Word of God. But you and I have an avenue to be able to show people and tell people, and that's by our mouth. We get to explain, hey, you know Jesus loves you? Hey, do you know you can spend eternity in heaven? Hey, do you realize there's a heaven and a hell? Are you 100% sure if you die, you go to heaven? Hey, we can use our mouth. We can declare God to mankind. And that's what we need to do. We need to move from a receiver to a giver. Hope you're not a rejecter today. Hope you're a receiver. Hey, I remember when I got saved. I remember the place, preacher. But that's not where it stops. You and I have got to become messengers. Messengers. Just like John. A man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. Was John the Baptist somebody special? No. Just a man like you and me. He came for a witness. Why? To bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. So what was his motive? Well, why did he come? It says right there. It says, to bear witness of light that all men through him might believe. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have the book of John. In John chapter 20, I've said this before, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So you and I, our motive in life ought to be that people can see Jesus in us, that we can give them a testimony and a declaration that how to get saved and who Jesus is and who the Creator was and what they must do in order to get saved. Can we save them? Are we that light? No. Just like the moon. The moon is a big chunk of lifeless rock. There's nothing on there. But you look up there, man, it lights up the sky. And when there's a full moon, it's hard to sleep. Why? How did it get so much light? There's probably light through that. No. It's a reflection of the light of the sun. And you and I, who are we? Nobody. Can I save anybody? Absolutely not. Can you change their lives? Absolutely not. But my job is for let the light of God flow through me. That's why you ought to come to church. That's why you ought to live a holy life. That's why your attitudes and your motives and your goals ought to be different than the world. What are they living for? Money, fame, prosperity. What are you living for? Hopefully you're living for Jesus. Hopefully you're... John says, hey, I came to this earth not so that I can accumulate all these things. No, I came to give witness of the light, that the light might shine through me, that everybody might believe. And when they believe, they might have life through his name. There's a lawyer, an attorney. What does he do? He argues his case. He tries to prove a point. He brings evidence to influence the jury for a desired decision. He does everything he can. But a difference is a witness. Does a witness argue his point? Does he try to get them to see a desired decision? No. All a witness does is tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Lays his hand on the Bible and he says, I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I'm not going to try to I'm not trying to get a desired decision. I'm not trying to prove my point. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. A witness also tells what he knows. They don't say, hey, witness, you're a witness, right? You tell us what you don't know. No, they say, tell us what you saw. Tell us what you heard. Tell us what you saw. That's why I've watched cops enough that if they get in a certain area, they'll take all the people. They won't get them together and say, all right, one by one, tell me what you saw. Oh, no. They'll take this person over there, this person over here, this person, and they'll ask them individually. Now, what did you see? What happened? And this person, if they're the same story, it's probably true. But if you heard, this guy tells a different story, this guy tells the same as this, but this guy is different, guess who's lying? But you and I are only witnesses. And to be a true witness, you must have already got saved. The best soul winners are those of us that are saved, that know Jesus Christ as a Savior, that know, hey, when I invited Jesus in my heart, something happened. My life changed. No, I didn't become superhuman, or I didn't, you know, I don't have any problems with the flesh or the world or the devil. No, I got all kinds of problems, but I have the Holy Spirit of God moved inside me, and now I've got a teacher, and I've got a convictor of sin, and I've got a helper through life that'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm different. So, our job this morning, are you a rejecter? I hope not. I hope you remember when you got saved. And if you can't remember that and have that nailed down in your heart and life, come and get saved this morning. Say, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. They said they got my name on a roll. They said, and then I got baptized. No, but what did you do to accept Christ as your Savior? Did you believe and receive Him? And then you became a son of God. But hopefully you're not a rejecter, but hopefully you're a receiver.
But we need to move from a receiver to a witness. Hey, I'm going to be a reflector. I'm going to let God's light shine through me to others. And folks, it's more than just lifestyle evangelism. It's more than just being honest, paying your bills, being ethical, being kind, being just a good person. It's more than that. It's using your mouth. Hey, are you 100% sure? If you die, you go to heaven. Hey, what would happen to you? I like to ask people, what would happen to you if you were to die right now?
Well, I don't know.
Where are you going to spend eternity? You're going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. Oh, preacher, what if they get offended and they'll get mad at me? And there's no two or three hells, folks. We must use our mouths and become a messenger. And John, hey, I was sent by God, and I came to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist was a Nazarite. What two other people were Nazarites? Anybody know? Samson? Hey, do homework. See if you can find the third one. There's only three people that are mentioned that were totally Nazarites. Samuel, who said that? Very good, Doc. You're a smart guy. He read my notes already. No. He's a doctor. What do you expect? No. Anyway. Those three. And I promise you, and I'm not going to preach on that. I'm going to preach on that later. They were consecrated holy. Holy unto God. There's some things they could not do that other people could do. That weren't they weren't sinful and wrong, but they were set apart. They were set apart in appearance and what they could do and what they could approach because they were set apart unto God. Oh, he's different. No. If we're to be a receiver, we become a messenger and we become consecrated unto the Lord. My life is for this purpose. I'm solely in. I'm all in. A Nazarite was all in. And God used them because they said, this is what I must do. So this morning, the message, are you a rejecter or a receiver? If you're a receiver, I hope you are. You got to move from being a receiver to a giver, to a witness of the light. I'm just going to tell people, well, preacher, you prove to me there is a God. You prove to me. I can't. Like John, he just starts out, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was different than Mark and Matthew. I'm going to use all this story, and I'm going to tell you all that took place. John just states it. Hey, this is what happened. I know it to be true. I've seen him. I've heard him. I felt him. I understand who he is. And John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of the light. That's our job. Our purpose for being here is to give the light to a dark world. Because my Bible says in 2 Corinthians, Satan hath blinded the minds lest they see the glorious light of the gospel. Our job is to tell them. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you this morning. God, we certainly love you. And God, we thank you for the Word of God that you've given us. How that the Apostle John, you, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote down the book of John for us. And God, he didn't argue with anybody. He didn't set out all these different discussions. He just stated the facts that you were eternally God. You were equally God. You were with God. And that you were essentially, you were God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. God, I pray that there might not be anybody here today that's rejected you, that may have believed in a God but never accepted you as their personal Savior. Can remember a time and a place that they accepted you as their Savior. But God, I pray that we all might have our receivers. But God, that we might move from receivers to actually giving forth the message, a reflector of your light, a messenger. a witness of what you've done in our life, a witness of what the Bible says. God, I pray that we might be faithful in the duty that you called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand this morning? As the piano begins to play, Brother Derek begins to sing. I don't know how God has spoken in your heart. Say, preacher, will you be embarrassed if I get... No, we'll rejoice with you. Most important thing is you know you're a receiver this morning. And then if you're a receiver, let's move to be a witness. You're not the light, I'm not the light. But we can bear witness of the light. We can communicate that light. All the moon does is reflect the light of the sun. Nothing in that moon gives light. There's nothing in you and I that are goodness enough. But we can sure let the light of God shine through us. Sure use our mouth to manifest, to make manifest, to declare God. Come this morning. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. Is that true today? God created everything we see and know, but there's a lot of people that reject Him. And He came unto His own received Him not. Some of the Jewish people still don't accept Jesus as the true Messiah, as the Christ. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that call upon His name, believe on His name. Have you believed? Have you received? Then you have become a son of God. Only trust Him. All of our testimonies ought to be the same. Man, I believed, I trusted, I believed, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. And we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Be seated quietly while these are still here at the altar. Right, now I got the people said. Appreciate you being here this morning. It means a lot for you to make the effort to be here. I know a lot says they're not feeling well and the elements, and I appreciate you braving the weather and coming out. And pray for those that have to walk home today. Pray for them, they got a long ways. But really, if you didn't get your picture taken last week by Miss Lori, please do that. We'd like to get that pictorial directory, phone directory finished up. And so please see Miss Lori. And that'll be great. You gonna have practice at 5:30? 5:30 for teen choir. Unless it snows another 8 inches, then you don't have to come tonight. Okay. 5 would be better. 4:30 would be better. 4? 3:30? Anybody for 2:30? Anybody for 2? Until I went to an auction last week. Anyway. Okay. 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, and the rest of it, hopefully you can make it back tonight. 6 o'clock, Bible message. And this week, regular services on Wednesday. Bill Pyland's memorial service will be Thursday. The viewing will be at noon. We'll start the service at 12:30 because we have to be done and over cemetery at 2. And then we will take up an offering for them on Wednesday night, give them money for a meal. And so looking forward to that. All right, let's all stand and have a thank you for so much again for being here in the Lord's house. Looking forward to a good week in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Derek, will you dismiss us in prayer, please, sir?